Hey guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on this week's podcast, we're talking about budget-friendly sewing. The horrible B word.
Yep. Well.
I'm sorry. I am the worst with budgets. I'll be the first to admit it. I don't think you
have a budget.
No.
That's it right there.
That's it.
The truth comes out.
This is the one episode where you're going to see just the huge difference between Ashley and I, because we are very much alike in a lot of ways when it comes to sewing and certain things. We have some minor differences that pop up of preferences and small things, but this is one of those things where we're very different. So I think you're going to get two ends of the spectrum for sure on this conversation, and you're probably going to align more with Ashley than me. And I think you probably should. I'll be honest. I wish I was more like Ashley in this regard.
But I also wish sometimes that I was more like you, because
I do wish you were sometimes more like me in this way.
We'll make more.
There's always, this is my mentality. There's always more money that can be made. Right?
Right.
And I can't take it with me when I die.
Right. Which makes sense. But at the same time,
here's the difference. I'm not living paycheck to paycheck. I have a saving. I'm not reckless. I have a saving. I have an emergency fund. Like, I have these things in place, but I have designated fund money. Right.
Right. Right.
And
yeah,
there you go.
Well, some people say that you have to pay yourself every paycheck, give yourself a certain amount. Maybe it's $200. You do whatever you want with it. Guilt-free. Do not even think about it, because this is for you. You did a good job at work this week or the 2 weeks.
If you
or
don't
whatever.
Reward yourself, then you're going to resent it. Like, it's just.
And it's, I don't do that. Yeah. I don't pay myself. And then I think that's why, because every time I take money, I feel like I'm taking from the family, and I don't want to do that, obviously. So it's the perspective.
But you're part of the family.
Yeah, I know.
You hesitated.
I don't know. It's just, it's a mind, like.
It's a mind game. And this is a sticky topic, and this is, it's a sensitive subject. Money has always been a sensitive subject for everybody. And everybody's in different places in their financial life, and it can change. We know, and we've seen through the pandemic, that financial situations can change very suddenly, unexpectedly, and you have to plan for those things. So we're not saying, I'm not saying be careless, and I'm not saying be so frugal to a fault. I'm saying, like, find a happy balance that works for you and your family or your financial situation. And I think I want to preface this right now that our situations don't have to look like, let me rephrase that. Our situations look different. Everybody's financial situations look different. So when you sit there and you compare yourself to what someone else is buying or getting or the machines they have or any of that, you don't know their financial situation, right?
No, they could have gotten yourself. Yeah. You could have had a rich aunt who passed away and you're sitting there like, how do they make that kind of money when they only have this job, but they really actually have like millions in the bank. You just don't know it.
Yeah. Who knows? You never know.
You just don't know.
It's nobody's business but theirs. And, but I think at the end of the day, I feel like it comes down to like imposter syndrome, right? Like you see what other people have. It's normal to want those nice, fancy, pretty things. Like, trust me, I would love a really nice, beautiful, huge, spacious, well-lit sewing room that has room to grow, not a one-car converted garage. So, we have what we have, and we enjoy. I love what I have, and I'm grateful. But we all look to the Joneses.
We can't help it.
We can't. But when we're talking through this subject, there are things that I have at my disposal because of my job, Like, most people don't have a dozen sewing machines in their house, but I do, but I don't own them, y'all. Like, they're samples from the office, and I take them back and forth, and I rotate them out with different machines for my job. So that's different. The Pfaff and the Viking, I have those machines because of my job. They are my machines, and I did purchase them, but I mean, I get an employee discount. And so otherwise I wouldn't have those machines. Like, I'll be frank. So I don't really share them a whole lot, especially the Pfaff, because it's really a top of the line machine. I don't share it a whole lot on my social media because I don't feel like it's relatable to most of my audience. And I don't feel like that's a good, like, would, you know, I'm just self-aware of it. I love that machine. I love it. And I love using it. And I use it all the time. I just, you just don't see me share it a lot. Or I don't focus on it a whole lot in the features. And I, if I'm teaching how to use different sewing feet, I do that from the Singer machines because it's going to be more relatable to the people in my sewing community. So I am aware of that. And I try to keep that in mind when I'm sharing those. But anyways, if y'all want to see the Pfaff, I'm happy to share it because I love it. Yeah. And when I go to convention in a couple weeks, you know, you're going to see me share like sneak peeks of the new Viking Designer Epic 3, which is going to blow my Pfaff out of the water. Like, it is so cool. It's our top of the line. We have these big conventions to launch these top of the line machines. I know they're not attainable for a lot of people, but they are for some people too. And so you'll see me share them because I think it's cool to see where, how the new technology, the new features. These are machines that some people never get to sit in front of. So it's really cool. And I don't take that for granted. So you'll be, you'll see me share more of it here in the coming weeks, but I you know, I just try to find a balance. If that makes sense.
So we're going to talk about just some ways to just be more budget conscious that maybe Bethany should start to adopt. And most of them, I do them as kind of my own. Like, that's just where I start usually is these things before I go to the stores.
See, and we are so different, Ashley. Let's just dive in. We don't
have the access to the same stores. Like, you have Hobby Lobby
and Joann. Even if you live here, you can't use being a Canadian as an excuse this time. Even if you live here.
I would go there way more if I could.
Even if you lived here, you'd still go to the thrift store first.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a good habit for you and it works for you.
I love it. It's so fun because it's like, you know, you get that rush of getting a good deal. Oh, yeah.
I have friends like that. I just, I can't. I cannot. Unless it's like a really cool mom and pop antique shop. I don't enjoy going into thrift stores.
You know what I just found at the thrift store?
The smell.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay.
It's the smell. It really is. And the dim lighting. But it's really the smell. And everything feels sticky.
Sticky?
I don't know what it is. Maybe it's our thrift store here. I don't know.
Yeah. No. But I found waterproof canvas at the thrift store.
I would never find that at our thrift store.
Like, what? I was like...
I never find fabric at our thrift store.
So if you're listening to this, Blue just came up and sniffed my face.
And gave you a little kiss.
I love you too,
Blue. Sweet puppy. I just look up and there's like a dog's head in the side of the screen. That was funny.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about the importance of budget-friendly sewing. Why would you want to have a budget when it comes to sewing? Well, I mean, let's think about it. There's a lot of things that you can get to go along with sewing. And there's a lot of different niches of sewing, which entail different materials and different supplies and different accessories. And it adds up quickly.
It does. I always see people using custom fabric, and it just, I'm so jealous of all, especially Elizabeth, EZM. Handmade EZM. She always has this beautiful custom made vinyl fabrics with like Mario on it and everything. But I can't justify spending $35 a yard I cannot.
Well, in Canada, so, yeah.
So it makes me so jealous. But
I saw some Mario vinyl at the expo yesterday.
And we don't get expos.
You just need to come down here.
I know.
For good.
For good. Yeah. I just need to live there.
All right, so let's talk about budget-friendly fabric shopping. So, obviously, shopping sales. I will say, I very rarely purchase fabric at regular price. Unless it's something that I need at a certain time, and I didn't have time to shop or it in advance to get it on sale, or I don't have a coupon that I can use with it. Very rarely will I purchase fabric, notions,
patterns,
anything on sale. I will do patterns from time to time, but very rarely. Now, so sales are a big deal. If anybody needs to know when the 40% off on Hobby Lobby is, just message me. It aligns with my pay weeks, and so I always know when it is.
Oh god.
Yep.
And so the lady thing is that it's every other week, right? So it's like is. If you can't wait like 4 days, then
Like, and then the alternating weeks for those yarn and crochet and knitter people, it's the opposite of fabric week. So now that I crochet, I'm like, well, I still want to go to Hobby Lobby.
Every week.
So I go and I can shop yarn on 1 week, fabric the next week. And I can see while I'm there, because the sections are next to each other, I can see what new fabrics have come in, because they typically will load in new fabrics on the weeks they're not on sale.
Okay.
And then I can be like, ooh.
I got to go early on like Monday or whatever.
Yeah, I'm there Monday morning.
Yeah.
Monday morning. I'm usually their first customer in the door.
That's funny.
On fabric sale weeks, for sure.
That's a good tip, because I did not realize that.
Yeah, they do. Also, when you start looking in their fabric section, just because you can see the bolts standing up, look underneath. And look at the racks underneath. Well, the racks in the back with like some of like the heavier duty canvas and drapery stuff. Like they will store extra bolts of things underneath, especially seasonal fabrics. And so sometimes what's on the shelf, there may be some different prints on that bottom rack in the back. Look. Just because it's not standing upright doesn't mean it's not. And you can pull it right out from under there and be like, I want you to cut this. If it's not, if it's not out on the main. So,
okay.
Yeah. I will track it down if I need to. And not every Hobby Lobby carries the same stuff. So I have like 3 different Hobby Lobbies I bounce between. I have my main one that's closest to my house. And then I have 2 others that I'll drive a little, like one's like 15 minutes and the other one's like 25 minutes, and I can get to them, and or 20 minutes, and I can go to them, and they will have different stuff. Because one time Diana got a fabric that I was like, I need that to make baby clothes with, and they didn't have it at mine or the other one closest to me, so I had to go to the further one, and I found it at that one. So they mostly have the same stuff, but sometimes they'll have a couple that are slightly different, and I'm like, I should work there just so I could get a steeper discount.
I know, right?
There's also things like the clearance, like the, what are they called? The cutoffs or?
Oh, yeah. Remnants.
Remnants. That's the word of what's left on the bolt. So if there's like a yard or less left of a bolt from someone's last cut, they'll fold that up and put that in the remnants bin, and then you can get those. So those are great, especially if you're doing smaller projects, or if you're doing some sort of color blocking, or if you want to just test a pattern. Like if you're just trying to test something to make sure that the bodice is going to fit before you make it out of your like nicer fabric, those little remnants are great practicing for that, you know? So always check that area. And it's also an opportunity to try materials that you haven't sewn with before, to get them in smaller, cheaper quantities, to just learn to sew and practice with those materials before you decide to make a giant coat out of that material. Remnants is a big thing. And then dead stock.
I've never seen dead stock around here. Like, I don't know where.
There are, in some fabric shops, you'll see what's called dead stock, meaning prints that are not going to be restocked, that are not going to be reproduced. That's the last of it. They're trying to get rid of it, but to make room for new prints, new seasonal prints. So you know, if you go to Joann's and you see that big clearance section of bolts, that's kind of like their dead stock. Mm-hmm. Like they're not going to be bringing those back. That's it. End of the season, purging. They're not going to save it for next year's season because it's not coming back. So they're going to try to get rid of it. And so that's, it's an area where you kind of have to dig.
Yeah.
For stuff. There's a little bit of everything over there. It's like two aisles at my store and you just kind of dig through it. You kind of have to be in the mindset to do that. It kind of reminds me of thrifting and I don't enjoy the process, but
oh my God,
I just want it to look pretty on the shelf. And then I'm like, yes, I need that. That's me. I just want in and out.
I tell you though, like, I get, that's why I buy most of my fabric at the thrift stores because I know that I can use it for those mock-ups or those muslins or whatever. So it's just, I don't feel as bad because I can get, like, I've gotten like 3 or 4 yards of a fabric for $4. Like, how can you not? And it might not be beautiful.
My thrift store doesn't have fabric, but I have gotten bed sheets and I have a few.
Yeah, that's an option.
That are like in good shape and they're big size. So I know I could like make a woven dress as a test fit and those kind of things because they may have some faded spots or whatever, not like stains or anything. And I've washed them like twice. But I they're good for that. And I have used that before and I have a couple on hand. I see people take nice bed sheets and actually turn them into finished wearable garments. And I love that for them. I just don't get those kind of bed sheets.
I think you also have like Poshmark is really popular over there. They have it here too. But it's like, it's people are finding value in reselling online rather than dropping it off.
Oh, Poshmark. Yes. Yes. I
think that you're getting like kind of the bottom of the barrel stuff in your stores now.
Yeah, I have purchased a couple things before I started sewing my own clothes. I have purchased a couple things off Poshmark, but it was more like specialty. Like if I needed a specialty item for an event or a certain pair of shoes or bag or something like that. I don't really buy that kind of stuff anymore. Y'all, I used to buy handbags and dress shoes and heels like they were going out of style. And I don't anymore. I wear like the same house shoes every day.
Yeah. But I think that's
my favorite brand of bags and I've really downsized. I just threw away a bunch the other day. So, you know, I've gotten better now that I don't shop for clothes like I used to at all because I can make it.
Yeah.
So unless it's jeans and I can make jeans, I just don't really want to. So, I just love buying my jeans, but that's it. You know, my shopping comes in the form of fabric and I feel like I've gotten better. I have gotten better.
Well, you really should buy for what you want to make and rather not the project you think you might make one day, but then you never do.
See. Okay. The fabric speaks to me.
Okay.
And it says, I'm beautiful.
Yes.
And soft and pretty and would look fabulous on you.
Somewhere.
And one day. The beautiful pattern is going to come across your Instagram or your page or wherever. And you're going to go, that pattern is meant to be made with this beautiful fabric. And that's why I need to buy it now. So when that pattern shows up, I already have the perfect fabric for it. Very rarely do I get a new pattern and have to go shopping for fabric for it. You're the opposite. You get the pattern and then you wait for the fabric to present itself at a thrift store.
Sometimes,
and I appreciate this is our polar opposite moment. And neither one is wrong, but I'm right. So I'm just kidding.
I cannot bring myself to spend too much. I will never, ever, 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 ever. I'm telling you right now, I will never buy a fabric if it's not on sale. I don't care.
Oh, I don't want to buy on sale. That's what sells me on it.
But if you're like, oh, I really need it. Like, no. I'm just, no, there's no, I really need it because I'll just figure something else out. Like, it's just.
The fabric I buy is always on sale.
Everything in my house is on sale.
I just don't always have a pattern in mind. Now, when I look at the fabric, I can go, this is going to be a sweater.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. And for what sweater? I don't know, but.
Yeah. This is going to be a dress. This is going to be a pair of pants. This is going to be pajamas. This is going to be a coat. I already know what it's going to be. I just don't know the pattern. And so because I know, a question I get all the time is, how do you know how much fabric to get when you don't know what you're making with it yet?
True.
I already know what it's going to be.
Right.
So as someone who's sewn a lot of clothes, I know that a typical shirt for me is 2 yards or less.
Yeah.
So I always give myself wiggle room because maybe I only need a yard and a half, but maybe I want to add an extra pocket or I want to put a hood on it and I'm going to need that extra half yard. So I rule of thumb, 2 yards.
Yep.
For tops, for sure. And if I'm going to do a full dress, like if it's going to hit to the knee, I'm going to do 3 yards. If it's going to hit to the floor, I'm probably going to do 4 yards. Mm-hmm. Because those big skirts take up a lot of fabric. Mm-hmm. If it's pants, because I'm taller, I do at least 2.5 yards. If it's just pants, depending, and it also depends on if it's a directional or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Those are things to keep in mind, but yeah, I give myself some grace and wiggle room, and I always have a little fabric left over.
Mm-hmm.
Always, because if I cut something wrong or I need to redo a piece or whatever, I know I have enough and I don't get through the whole project and kick myself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I always give myself some wiggle room. If I end up with a yard left over, I can make something else small out of it for a baby or my dog.
Yeah.
But, mm-hmm. I that's kind of my rule.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a coat, it's going to be probably, depending on the coat, like this jacket that I'm making is like probably close to 3 yards because of how intricate and all the, yeah. But that's based on my size. So me giving those measurements are based on my size. So you need to look at your size in different patterns. I think it's pretty
much the same for me too.
Fabric requirements, yeah.
And I'm a size 18, so I'm pretty much, like, I just made a shirt and it was 2 yards and it was, had a peplum and everything, so.
Yeah.
It was perfect.
So, you just have to keep that in mind. I always have extra fabric left over, but I don't like to cut it close. I don't.
No. It's very stressful.
Because a lot of times when it's on sale, I'm getting the last of it, or it's not going to be available again. And I don't want to not be able to use it for what I want to make.
I know. So that's, and for me, it's like, if I wanted to make a matching with Bianca, I probably need to, add another yard and a half possibly.
When I got this fabric to make this formal dress that I want to make for convention, I looked up the pattern.
Oh.
6 yards.
Wow.
It's a big circle skirt. Floor length.
Oh, you gotta make it.
I know.
Come on, please.
I need to do a bodice test fit. I need to do a bodice test fit first.
Okay, that's then, super. Okay.
And then I will make it, but
come on, we got to give you the encouragement.
Emerald green, satin, floral. It's stunning.
Oh my God.
I already have the perfect shoes. I need to make it.
Yeah, you do.
And it's a ditto pattern. If I use this pattern, it's a ditto pattern. So it's perfect for convention.
Oh, yeah.
Love the ditto.
People
there.
People would lose their mind if they saw that.
Well, now I'm motivated to do it. See, this is... I don't talk about it because I'm in the slums of feeling like depressed about my sewing right now. And in the lost my mojo dojo over here. And so, but just talking to you about it for a second made me go, okay, yeah, I really do need to. That's going to be so good if I do it.
It was so good. People are going to freak out. Like, seriously, it would be so beautiful.
I'm going to go sew it after this, aren't I?
You better.
I'm looking at my ditto right now. It's right there. And it's saying, plug me in.
Wow.
Let's play.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, fine. I'll do it. But I need you guys cheering me on. See, but you guys don't know.
Well, you don't tell me. Yeah.
I sabotage myself.
Yeah.
Anyways, the 6 yards of fabric that I bought of this beautiful satin is from Hobby Lobby, and it was 40% off. And I think it was originally only $8.99 a yard. I mean, I'm telling you, this is the prime time of when sewing for yourself actually is budget friendly, because I couldn't buy this gown.
No.
For less than $250 at a department store, minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum. What, and it wouldn't be a custom fit, and I'd have to alter it. So I'm just like.
And this is what I'm worried about when the kid, when Bianca gets to that prom stage, which in grade 8, they have a little prom.
They have like a winter formal or something.
Just like graduation prom.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that definitely I would like to make a dress for her. So I need to actually like practice those things.
Yeah. But sewing with satin, sewing with tulle, sewing with like those kind of dress gown materials, anything beaded, it's challenging.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to kind of use some different foots when you're hemming different and things. Feet,
different threads, different needles, different everything.
But have you heard how much like prom dresses are these days? They're like in the fours. $300-$400.
How much my prom dress was my senior year?
How much?
$550.
What? Was it a wedding dress?
No.
Jesus.
It was absolutely.
Oh, I bet it was so beautiful.
But I loved this dress. So it was black, strapless, sweetheart neckline. And it was fitted all the way down to like the right above the knee. And then it goes out like a mermaid.
Mm.
And but it had a train. And it was beautiful black satin. But here's the best part. It had floral beaded embroidered overlay from the left up at the left bust all the way down that side of the dress.
That's where the 500 was. That's crazy.
It was stunning.
Stunning. Could you make that? No,
I didn't know. What?
Could you make it?
Oh, I could now.
Oh, okay. That's good.
With my embroidery machine, I absolutely could have done all of that. It was hand beaded, like all the beads were hand sewn on. It was absolutely stunning.
Wow.
And it was like a really nice designer dress. The crappy part of the situation was the guy that just broke up with me brought a different girl with him to the prom. Wearing the exact same dress.
Are you serious? Who wore it better?
Oh, of course me.
That's weird.
And then I had the shawl. I had a little satin shawl, and it had white hand beading all the way around the edge of it. And I left it at home and completely forgot it.
Oh, no.
It's okay. I didn't need it. But it was such a... We had... Our prom wasn't like a traditional prom because I went to private school. We did not... They did not sponsor like dancing, right? So we had a formal dinner and like a thing put on and formal dinner and everything. And then the junior parents put on the dance across the hall in the other ballroom. So we would buy tickets to the prom, tickets to the dance. We would go across the hall to the dance and actually get to dance. It just wasn't sponsored by the school, but it was a part of it. And it was across the hall. And then after the dance, the senior parents put on the breakfast. So we had things to do all night long. You didn't just show up, take pictures and leave. Like it was the whole night. And then we went to like Dave and Buster's and it was a luau theme. So we would all change into our luau clothes and we got to do bowling and arcade games and all this pool tables. And we had all the breakfast bar buffet thing until like 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. And then we all went home. So our parents always knew where we were because we were at one of the 3 stages of the night. And to me, it was the best. And then, because I did go to my friend's prom for his public school, and it was probably my second favorite dress I've ever bought for a prom, and it was $25 off the clearance rack at like Kastner Knots back in the day. And it was strapless and fitted all the way down. It had a little slit up the side. It was straight all the way down to the floor, but it was sequins. It was like black satin or black velvet with glitter sequins all over it. Mm-hmm. It was so fun. And I wore that to his prom. We had the best time, but we literally showed up, took pictures and left and went downtown. Like we just, it was a totally different prom experience. I didn't mean to get off that tangent, but at the end of the day, my black prom dress with the hand beaded embroidered flowers was amazing. I loved it.
Yeah. So I don't want to spend that much money.
No. On
a prom dress. And I would love to be able to
make it. It was my senior year. And
yeah.
So my junior year, when I went to my junior year prom, we went to like the clearance rack at David Bridal or whatever.
I remember my dress was like $50.
And it was red, strapless, and it tied in a big bow in the back. It had like a fold over across here, and it was fitted to the waist, and then it had like a big skirt, and it was really pretty.
Nice.
I should find pictures of these. I'm pretty sure my mom has them. That black dress, though, let me tell you. I had my hair up in like a twist with curls.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cute. It was a vibe, but I still can't get over that girl showing up in the same dress.
That's so awkward.
I don't know if they did this at your school, but at my school, the girls would tell each other, like, we had a list of who was wearing what, so we wouldn't buy the same dresses. Because I went to
school. Was she not from your school?
No, she wasn't.
Okay.
No. So no, we didn't she do showed that. Up in it, and I was like, of all
it could
people,
be different now, but.
Yeah,
the thing is that if you have like the same like three stores where everybody goes, the odds of you guys wearing the same dress.
There's so many stores. Here for
not here.
Like every department store. Then there's boutique stores, and then there's online. And
well, yeah. Now, my goodness, I guess in 2023, but I'm thinking back to like
2003. Yeah.
We were like Fairweather, Sears. There was always that one like prom store in the mall, you know, that had like all the China dresses. And
that's too funny.
I know.
I think I took that black dress to a. It was it's like a secondhand, but she only carries formal dresses and gowns and wedding gowns. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, when she sells it, you get money.
Okay.
Like she keeps a portion, and then you get a portion. I never got any money.
Oh,
I bet that dress is long. It's been ages.
Yeah.
Oh well, I just gave her a dress, $500 dress.
Sure did.
Anyways, I guess I have to go make a formal dress tonight.
Yep.
Upcycling and repurposing. We're back on our budget-friendly topic. We got on a prom tangent there. Sorry, guys. It happens. You guys know this. Upcycling and repurposing. This is something that I feel like a lot of people do when they get started in the sewing. A lot of people get into sewing because they want to upcycle things.
Change things.
It's a good gateway into sewing. Being able to build and learn how things are made by taking them apart or altering them. I think it's a great way. This is where you can do like thrifting things. I recently thrifted some denim, like kids clothes, like overalls and jeans or jean jackets, to be able to do some embroidery designs on for work samples. So that's always fun. But there's some people who thrift bed sheets and turn them into dresses or, drapery like curtains and stuff, and they'll turn them into dresses or pants. Or
there's someone I'm following who is
different project altogether. They'll turn it into a tote bag. I mean,
yeah,
all sorts of things.
Yeah, there's one person I'm following, and she's making a pair of pants out of curtains.
Yeah, yeah, but
they look like tweed. So
yeah, I've seen people take jeans and make handbags.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
That's a big thing.
That's a trend that'll never die.
Never die. Thank you to the early 2000s. So I think that this is a great way to kind of get into it. What I typically find though is people who get into sewing in that area will start to venture out of it to find other themes to make from start to finish with mm-hmm. a pattern. And that's, then they start learning about using patterns and stuff. But I think it's a great way to do it. And if you're looking for a quick project, by all means. And I think having the skill set to be able to alter your clothes or alter your kids' clothes is a very helpful skill set. So
for sure. Yeah.
Sewing pattern options. Okay. Sewing pattern options. Did you have something else you were going to say? I didn't mean to just cut you off.
I cut myself off.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm good. I don't need to say it.
Are you sure?
Yep. Okay. I already forgot it. Gone.
I was moving on.
Yep.
All right. So next we want to kind of briefly hit on sewing pattern options. So there's paper patterns, there's PDF patterns. There's so many different ways to get patterns and use patterns. And, you know, there's thrifted patterns. People buy patterns mm-hmm. from like estate sales or thrift stores as well. There's those mm-hmm. tissue paper patterns. You know, it's personal preference here. I think a lot of people get into sewing, have maybe inherited some patterns from their parent or mom or grandma or whoever over the years, or they found some at a thrift store and they want to, you know, use those patterns. I find tissue paper patterns really challenging personally. Mm-hmm. I can use them. I don't love to use them. And once you cut them, that's it. So I typically will go towards the digital patterns with PDF patterns. You can print those out and cut them out. But if you ever need to print them again, you can. But personally, I'm going to project them.
Yeah.
Whenever
that's
I
the
can.
Ultimate to save money.
I'm not wasting paper and ink. Mm-hmm. I can project any size. I can project multiple sizes and easily grade between the two. I don't have to store the pattern pieces when I'm done because they're all digital. And so for me, projection is just the most cost-effective way. You know, yes, you have to get a projector, but for the amount of ink, I mean, I get my 1 month supply of ink was over $100. Paper patterns all the time. So
that pays for your projector
and tape. I was using so much tape and my time alone was worth it. So
you also need a bigger space sometimes. Cause remember that one pattern that was like 100 pages.
I laid it out in my kitchen floor.
Yeah, exactly. So
my big. Dog walked all over it.
Yeah. So right. Now you have paw prints on it. Awesome.
Like get off my patterns.
Yeah, no, it's just a headache.
So. Yeah, it just would take hours. And then by the time I get it cut out, I'm like, I don't want to sew this anymore.
Yeah, right? Like, you're just like, well,
I could have sewn this up in less time than it took me to put the paper pattern together. So this is why I'm going to be
an breaking work. Like hanging over, taping, trying to line up the papers. It's just, I don't know. Diana still does it. And I just, why? I don't understand.
I don't either.
Just like,
but you know what? I was that way for a long time. Like I had the projector for a long time before I finally set it up. But you just finally have to get to the point where the struggle is it just pushes you to that point of tears. And that's why I had like an 82 page pajama pattern.
With every single option under the sun?
Yeah. And the pair of shorts I wanted to make were right in the middle.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I pieced it all together, and Brett even had to come in there and help me lift the pages over and move them off my cutting table so I could keep without tearing them.
Yeah.
It was a huge thing because the way that they were pieced together, I couldn't cut as I go. It was instead of piecing together left to right in rows, it pieced together in columns.
Yeah.
Not like that. And so anyways, it was all said and done, and I cut it all out just to make a pair of shorts. And I didn't make the pair of shorts that time because I was so irritated. And mm-hmm. I took a video and I was like in tears, like this is the literally that next day I had that projector on the ceiling. I'm not joking. Like I was like, I'm not doing this ever again. I don't care how long it takes me to figure this out. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah.
The only time I printed a pattern since then was for the Coda coat, which is the quilted mm-hmm. coat. And mm-hmm. I needed to lay my quilt out in my living room and fussy cut those pieces. I had to lay all the pieces out to see how much I could actually get out of this quilt because it was a smaller quilt and there were some stains I had to avoid. So I was, in a sense, fussy cutting and seeing what pieces I could get out of it and what I would need to supplement with other fabric, mm-hmm. and how I needed to visually lay that out. Plus it was my son's baby quilt. So I wasn't just going to go hacking at it. I needed a plan. That was a situation where I really thought it through and I needed to lay it out completely. So I did, but that wasn't a big pattern and it was just once, and I can use that pattern over and over and over again. So
Yeah. There's
a time and a place to use paper patterns for me, but
yeah,
for the most part,
we're over it.
I am. The efficiency alone. And I just like setting the mood. I like to dim my lights, turn on my projection, turn on some music, light a candle, and cut it all out. And I really enjoy the cutting process a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, that's my opinion. I'm not saying if you like your paper patterns or your tissue pattern, you're wrong. You're not at all. But this is where I'm at in my journey. And I really like it. So, but yeah, I think finding, one thing that I will say is when pattern companies come out with new patterns, whether it's paper patterns, PDF patterns, whatever, when they first release those patterns is when they're on sale.
Mm-hmm.
Usually the greatest sale that they're going to have on that pattern, typically. Mm-hmm. So if there's a pattern that you see and you're like, I really want to make that and I am going to make that, get it when it releases, because it won't be on sale for more than maybe a week at the most. Mm-hmm. And you may not be able to make it right now, but you could be saving 25 to 30% or more on that pattern when it first launches, even if you may not make it for a month or two.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just saying, it may not go on sale again after that. So just have to keep an eye out for it. So that's a good time.
Another budget friendly tip. That's for sure.
Yeah. And then, the paper patterns, the tissue patterns, all of those, they will go on sale. They can be very pricey, but they will go on sale. I know that a lot of the stores like Joann's and stuff will run them on sale. They'll have a $1.99 sale, which I think is coming up in mid October. So keep an eye out if you're listening. It might actually be now.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do different sales for different brands like McCall's or Butterick or whatever. But that's awesome. Why you want to subscribe to those newsletters and you want to like have those apps. So if you ever don't know when like sales are happening at Joann's or Hobby Lobby, they have apps and they put them in the app, like the weekly ads, weekly sales. You can just look right in the app and see everything that's on sale at those stores at that time. And they'll tell you if their paper patterns are on sale.
Well, you know, those patterns are like between $16 and $30 in Canada for patterns.
Wow. Paper patterns. Yeah, they can be $20 here.
The Nomi patterns are $18.99 here,
mm-hmm.
which is upsetting.
But when they go on sale, they do it Joann's, and they'll have $1.99 sale.
That would never ever happen.
That's why you just have to cross the border, Ashley.
I do, yeah. Mm-hmm. But I could buy them online, actually.
Maybe.
Do they have them on, like, is that sale online?
You have to look at their website. Some sales are exclusive to online, and sometimes you can get a better deal by purchasing online than you can in the store. And sometimes you can purchase online and do store pickup.
Mm.
So then you're getting the sale and not having to pay shipping, and you can just go pick it up when it's ready, and it's usually within a day.
That they also like Joann's ships to Canada, but they also, some things aren't available to Canadians, like not everything on their website we're allowed to buy, and it'll say like when you click on it, like not available in your region.
But if you do store pickup,
yes
that would kind of go around that, and then you can just be like, well, if I come get it at your place across the border, then you should be able
Hobby to. Lobby doesn't ship to Canada.
I don't know that I've ever ordered anything off Hobby Lobby. I didn't know you
really?
Could. Mm-mm. No, I always go to the store.
Huh.
I like going to the store. It's an experience. Okay.
It is.
Let's talk a little bit about using basic sewing equipment. So we kind of hit on this earlier at the beginning of the podcast where I said, you know, I have an abundance of sewing supplies because of my job and the machines that I personally have are top of the line for our brands because of my job. I'm very much self-aware that those are not attainable or for everybody and not everybody. So I don't really feature them a whole lot, but at the end of the day, if it can sew a straight stitch and a zigzag stitch, you're in good hands. You know, it doesn't matter how old the machine is, as long as it's working, as long as you take care of it, you know, use the right needles, use the right feet, use the right threads. You know, you're at the end of the day, a thrifted machine can be just as good as a brand new one.
Some of them are better.
Yeah.
Like, I've heard some people say that their favorite machine is that machine that they got from goodwill.ca or not.ca, but whatever. So, I mean, you can find some good diamonds in the rough.
Let's talk about stash busting projects.
I have a lot of stash to bust through. I mean, I don't not have a lot. That's for sure. I have purchased fabric thinking I'm going to make this, but then I end up not making it. And then it just kind of accumulates, especially when you do go to the thrift store and you're like, you're just, you know, $2, $3, one, like you just, you know.
It's funny. We both have huge fabric stashes.
Yeah.
But we obtained them completely different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
I think I handed you a lot of mine.
Oh my God. So much. And you know what's funny? I was looking through all the fabric and I'm like, there's nothing in here that's yellow.
I don't like yellow.
I just need yellow because I was making this cute little guy and I used the honeycomb.
Yeah, that was it. That's all I got.
It's the only yellow that
I do not like yellow. It is probably my least favorite color.
So I'm like, now I need to consciously be like, okay, when I go to the store, if there's any yellow remnants or whatever, just to have in the quilt, you know, the quilting fabric.
I love that you've noticed.
Yeah. Like, there's definitely a theme.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like a cool, warm color tones. I am not a yellow, orange person.
I'm not either. And that's why I don't have any.
Unless it's for my Tennessee Vols. And then I will wear orange.
Yeah. But
even then, I don't seek that color out. Yellows and oranges. And even reds. I just.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, anyways. So, scrap busting projects. I mean, I feel like doing little quilting blocks, doing little, like I recently did a class with Michael Zoom classes of the lanyard with the chapstick holder and the mini wallet as like a little, those are fantastic scrap busting. It doesn't take a lot of material, just a few pieces of hardware. You could probably pull off of something else that you don't ever use. And that's another thing is like, DIY sewing supplies. Like we've talked about this before. It's like, okay, if you've got a bag that you're going to throw away because it's like busted and looks awful and all the materials gross or stained or it's not in style, there's still good hardware on that bag. You can take the hardware off before you toss the bag. So there's ways to like get things for cheap or reuse things that you already have. You just have to think about it. And now that I say that, I don't think I took the hardware off those bags that I just recently
did. And you know, a lot of people will buy a purse and they don't even think about it because they're just like, I'm only going to wear it like, you know, like this. And they take that crossbody strap that was in the purse and they just kind of stick it in the closet. Those are awesome. Okay. I would buy those from the thrift store. People were just because they're like, no, I'm not going to wear the purse like that. So like I would get them for like $1 or $2. One time I got a couple coach straps, like seriously. And I don't even need to now prepare one of those straps. If I make a purse, I can just grab an already made one, you know?
Yeah.
Like who cares?
I keep all of those and I keep them with the purse. So when I got rid of the purses, the extra straps I keep when I'm not using the purse, its strap goes back into the purse.
Right.
So they stay together. And so the straps went with them.
No.
But I have all the straps. I mean, y'all, I have a ton of purses. So I have all the straps for the ones I have now. I just don't ever really use those.
You can just swap them out. Like you don't have to say like this, I can never use that for that purse. It's just that I'm going to use it on this one for now. So
yeah.
But a lot of people have those stashed and they don't even realize it. It's just kind of like in their closet.
Yeah. And, you know, when we're talking about like using things or getting things for cheap, like you don't have to spend a ton of money on a sewing machine. You can get one on a budget. You can look at thrift stores. One thing that we learned recently from Julian with Julian Creates when we had him on is like Goodwill has a website. I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
That's where he's gotten several sewing machines.
And he gets a ton from them and he'll get them and make sure they're in working condition. And then he can find them new homes for people he knows that are looking for specific types of machines or ones that have certain features. He'll find them used and make sure they're working and, you know, and everything and have the right accessories. Or if they don't come with like a presser foot, he'll get one, you know, off eBay or something and put it with it. He gets it all pieced together back to like its original contents and then we'll resell. So, you know, that's an option to like do some of that. It just takes a little knowledge, you know, to know what you're getting and have an understanding of machines if you're sourcing that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's an option. Facebook Marketplace. That's how I got my industrial machine. I got my industrial machine for $500. It's only a few years old. It's computerized. It's got the whole table. It's the servo motor. It is so nice. And I mean, I was looking at brand new ones and I just was like, I can't spend that money. And it didn't even have as many.
You're not going into like business anyways. No. You just need something that works.
So for me, I just kept an eye. I mean, when you're sourcing things like this in these avenues, you can't expect to find it the same day you look. I've been looking and had, you can set up on Facebook Marketplace. You know, you search for something once and they keep showing them to you every time new listings come up. But you can set up like alerts to be notified when those types of listings are posted in your area. And I just kept looking. And one day I looked, I hadn't looked in a little while and I looked. I mean, it was almost a year of me looking before this one finally came across and someone else was supposed to go see it. And so she said, if they don't reach back out to me, then I'll let you know. And she never heard back from them or anything. They kind of ghosted, thankfully, because then I got to go see it. I literally went that afternoon and took it home.
Nice.
So when you have to be prepared to pull the trigger when the iron strikes, but it could be a little while before that happens. So just, you have to be patient. And I think that's where it was thrifting and stuff like that. I'm not the best at. I think it's just because I'm not a very patient person. I struggle with that. And so, so for me, but I do get the thrill out of when it does align. I'm like, yes. And Brett's like, what? I have to go borrow your dad's truck. We got to drive 40 minutes south. And I'm picking up what? And why do we need a truck? I called my dad. I said, I need to borrow your truck to go get a sewing machine. He's like, what kind of sewing machine are you
buying?
I was like, don't ask. I just need your truck. It won't fit in my car.
Sewing horse saddles. Like, what on earth could you possibly? Yeah.
Building a warehouse. Okay.
Is it going to fit in your house? Like, if it's.
So that was the next question. I said, that's not your problem. I just need your truck. That's a me problem. I think the last thing that we wanted to talk about on this topic, because I mean, we could go on all day about budget friendly sewing tips here, is budget friendly gift ideas. I feel like the best way to be budget friendly during the holidays or someone's birthday or baby shower gifts, or there's always something, right? Is what can you make?
Yeah.
What can you make? Mm-hmm. So, you know, some people love handmade gifts. Some people don't. They want certain things. But if you can kind of pair it with something, you know, you can kind of go, okay, I'm going to make something and get a smaller gift off their list or something, you know, and make it a thing to go together. That always works well. But for the holidays, I love to make gifts. But you need to plan those in advance. So like all of the holiday fabric is on sale right now. So now's the time to buy it so that when you're ready to make those projects, you know, you can. Yeah. So you just have to think in advance and plan in advance. And that also helps you plan out your gift giving. So I think that's important. I know Ashley has a ton of free tutorials on her YouTube for quick holiday gifts or holiday decor, holiday projects. They can also be great scrapbuster projects too.
Yeah. I think that also if you don't, like, maybe you have a lot of people that you want to give something to, but you don't have it in the budget. Mm-hmm. And you don't, maybe you typically wouldn't give them a gift, but you just feel like you want to give them a little something. Mm-hmm. I feel like a small, even just like a little like coffee cozy, you know, just like something like that would be like so cute.
Ornament or, you know, something small. I think that's sweet. I used to do that with my extended family. We would make a different ornament every year. Mm-hmm. And I would gift those to my family. And so it would just be this one little ornament and they would have those to, you know, for the years that we haven't gotten together since the pandemic with some of them, they still have those ornaments that they put on their trees that we've made before. So, and it wasn't all sewing, it was some crafting ones and, you know, all that. But I think it's super fun. There's so many inexpensive gifts that can be really impressive. Like this crocheting stuff, like, it just takes me a couple days to get, like, knit out, like, crochet out some of these things. And I'm just like, I could be making some of these as gifts. Mm-hmm. Everybody's getting mug koozies for their stocking stuffers this year.
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't that be so cute to give, like, just a little mug, put a little koozie around, stick, like, you know, hot chocolate on the inside, and then perfect, you know, give it to your coworker or... Yeah. You know, your mailman, or I don't know, like just people that you don't maybe typically would buy for, but you just want to give them a little something because you just feel appreciative of them. You don't need to break the bank for that kind of stuff. And it's, I think it's a gesture that comes from the heart when it is well thought out and
handmade. And I find that people really appreciate it.
Yeah, they do. I made the everyday tote for the bus driver, and I made her cry.
Oh, you're so proud of that.
Like, no one has ever. And then when we came back from summer break, she was just like, I use my tote all summer. Like, it was so sweet. And I was like, okay, I need to do this.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. And I was just like, that's sweet. It's so nice.
That's sweet. I, for my brother and sister-in-law's baby shower, I made the basket, the rope basket, so they can use that in the baby room to put diapers in or blankets or toys or whatever. And then I made 3 sleeper sets for the baby, like the little sleeper sacks.
Yeah,
they tie at the bottom. And I made them in 3 different sizes. And then I crocheted my first puppy dog. And it was a little wonky, but it's the thought that counts. And then I used the Glowforge to laser and engrave the little sizing tags for the closet to separate the clothes by the different sizes. Because baby clothes all start to look the same size for a little bit. And you don't want... If they're all mixed in, they'll outgrow an outfit before they ever get to wear it. Mm-hmm. So you organize them by size. So I made these little closet hanger tags. And then the 2 things that were in there that I didn't make, I got him his first house plant because she loves house plants like crazy. And so I was like, he needs one for his room. And it was the perfect green for the bedroom. And it was just a little baby safe plant. And so I was like, I knew she would appreciate it. That was mostly for her. And then they asked for a book instead of a card. And so I got a book that's called Auntie Loves You. So he's my first nephew, like my first, he's making me an aunt.
Wow. Yeah. I was an aunt when I was 11.
I'll be 39 when I finally get to be an aunt.
Wow.
I'm so excited. Yeah. And so I got that little sweet book for him. So when That's he cute. Gets older, I can read it to him and tell him how cool I am.
Yep.
And how much Very fun true. We're going to have.
Aww.
I want to be That's the cool ex- aunt.
It's coming like up.
It's, yeah. I think 4 or 5 weeks away.
Wow.
First part of That's November.
Crazy. Yeah.
I know. It's exciting. And I cannot wait. Little boy.
Well, I mean, she's almost basically like what, at 37 weeks, you're technically full term. So, I mean,
anytime now,
she could go early.
I know. Well, Jessica absolutely loves Halloween. Like, with Halloween. And so we're all thinking, like, how cool would it be if he was born on Halloween? Because then she could literally have a Halloween party every year for his birthday.
Yeah. Like, well, she still will because it's going to be close, right?
I know. Mm-hmm. I think his actual due date is, like, November 4th or November 8th or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it's right at, like, 4 weeks, I guess, now. Wow. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. You know, as long as he's healthy and everything goes well, we don't care when he comes. We just want him to be his perfect little self. And so this is exciting. My parents' oldest grandson is my son.
Right.
And he's a senior in high school and he's 17. And then their second grandchild is being born in a month.
And that's we'll be 17 years apart. Gap.
So they're starting over with grandchild too. So it's just a different experience for everybody.
Yeah, because they're in a different frame of mind too, probably.
When Brock was born, my brother was in college.
Yeah, they're like, no, we're not ready to be grandparents.
Like a freshman in college or something. Yeah. So he was like, he was in his own little world doing school. He lived out of, 3 hours away. So he wasn't really around a lot when Brock was little. He loves Brock, but he just wasn't, it was a different experience being an uncle at that age.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Me being an aunt with a grown kid. I feel like I'm being more of like a grandparent than an aunt. Like that's kind of what it feels like. And I know that sounds weird to say, but I've already raised a kid. It's not like we're raising kids together.
You have so much wisdom.
I am an old soul. Just without the gray hair. Anyways, I'm excited. Lots of baby clothes making, which I've never really done before. So that's fun.
And that's where all your stash is going, which is good because you need to use it up.
Yeah, it is. It is. So, well, hold on. I got to look and see what's up next. I'm so bad at this.
The pictures.
Fall and Halloween. We're going to do two episodes, right?
Yep.
Okay. So coming up next week, we are shifting gears and we are going to do a whole episode on fall, Thanksgiving, and a Halloween decor projects that you guys have created. I'm going to be sharing some projects that I've made and some tutorials that I have, and that Ashley will too, that if you haven't made something that you want to make, or you get inspired by one of our projects, we're going to be sharing a lot of those. So we had recently asked our listeners to submit photos of their home decor that they've made. And then the week after that, we're going to do a whole episode on just Halloween costumes that you all have made. And I have some goodies that I'm going to be sharing with you guys on that one too. So we appreciate our listeners who have chimed in and sent in photos. If you haven't yet, I'm sorry, we've already kind of closed that window for these two episodes. But if you ever want to be involved in our episodes in this way, because we do these listener engagement episodes pretty often, then you need to be sure you're following us on Instagram. That's where we typically make those announcements. And then over on our website, we have a place for you to sign up for our newsletter. We did send out a newsletter reminder to let you all know how to do that. We have a place on our website to submit photos. So if you ever want to participate in those in the future, be sure you're following us over on Instagram to check that out and subscribe to our newsletter. The last thing I want to say, go ahead.
And that website, like, we're going to switch it out. So if it's closed, it'll say closed. Mm-hmm. But if there's another opportunity, then it's going to say in that.
Yeah. What we're looking for. Yeah. For the upcoming episodes that we're planning. So that's a great call out. The other thing is we are so close to 1,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel. I know you guys typically listen to us on your car rides or whatever, and we greatly appreciate that. But if we could get a few more of you to head on over to YouTube and click the subscribe button, even if you don't really want to watch them, we do a lot of short clips over there that we don't post on Instagram too. So you might see some content on our YouTube that you haven't seen before. So it might be worth going over there and subscribing anyways. But if you could, we are trying to get to that 1,000 goal. It helps us get to that monetization. I know it's not something we really want to highlight here, but monetizing our YouTube honestly helps us continue to afford to be able to do the podcast. Because there's a lot of fees associated with filming, editing, recording, and posting and streaming podcasts. And so we want to keep doing these. And by simply subscribing, which costs you guys nothing, actually truly helps us raise a little money to be able to continue to do this. So if you wouldn't mind taking a few seconds of your day to go over and do that, the Social Hour podcast over on YouTube, hit that subscribe. Throwing out some hearts to you guys. We'd appreciate it. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to be doing some Halloween. And then we have some fun stuff leading into the holidays that we're going to be doing. So just stick around for that. And again, happy sewing on a budget.
Bye, guys.
Bye.